Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. This is the weekend edition where we interview notable people from the world of real estate investing. Today is no exception. We have a great guest all the way from New York City. Welcome to the show, Tim Lyons.
Victor, thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Well, great to have you here. You and I have known each other a number of years, and we first met. You were a firefighter with the New York City Fire Department. You still are a lieutenant in the fire department, and also at the same time managing quite a substantial real estate, very active real estate business. Lots to talk about today since you were last on the show, but before we do, maybe give a little bit of your backstory and how you got to this point in your journey.
Yeah, thank you, Victor. So I'm a registered rep of a broker-dealer, and we work on the equity side of commercial real estate deals, mostly in multifamily, but we also do self-storage and industrial triple net leases across the country in, you know, desirable markets. And we really help the retail investor kind of get into these deals as a limited partner, whether they want to do cash or, you know, self-directed IRAs or 1031 exchanges. But that's really the business. But before then, like you said, I'm almost a 19-year veteran of the New York City Fire Department. I currently work as a lieutenant in the borough of Queens. And I love that job, Victor. I love going to the firehouse. I have a smile on my face every time. I have that same passion for real estate. So we've kind of grown a lot over the last couple of years. We did our first hiring in 2023. We absorbed a guy that was on Wall Street and got fed up and came on board with us. So lots of good things to talk about, but also used to work as an ER nurse, little fun fact. But now I'm just, you know, firehouse, full-time dad, and into the real estate.
I love it. So you've been active in this business for some time. You've done a number of projects. You've certainly been active raising capital. For the most part, a lot of folks getting into this business on the syndication side are doing private placements, meaning they're working private markets, exempt offerings, but typically dealing either in a 506B where there's a pre-existing substantive relationship, or a 506C where they are allowed to solicit. But for the most part, many are not engaging the broker-dealer network because that's a heavy lift. There's a lot that's involved in that. But you have made that plunge. You have taken that extra step. And so I'd like to talk about that from two points of view. Number one, what's been the experience of becoming part of that broker-dealer network been like? And then number two, how has the market changed in the last year? Because certainly from our perspective, it's changed.
Yeah, that's a great question, Victor. So, you know, the first three deals we did, we kind of did like a joint venture structure. And as part of that, we had to raise capital for the opportunities. My brother and I, who was my partner at Cityside Capital here, we realized that we were pretty good at raising capital. And we felt like it could be a way to move forward in the business. The problem, as you know, is you can't just raise capital for deals and not have any other, you know, material participation. That's called securities fraud. So once we figured out that capital raising was going to be our strong suit, and we really leaned in, so we got our FINRA licenses and we aligned ourselves with a broker dealer. And I got to tell you, after doing that, our capital raising kind of exploded, right? Because, you know, as part of being a registered rep of a broker dealer, there's a, you know, suitability standard, there's, you know, due diligence standards that have to kind of be completed. And that meant a lot to us and meant a lot to our investors and potential investors. At the end of the day, Victor, if you have money to be placed into a private placement as a limited partner, you know, and you don't know how to do the diligence, or you don't know who to trust, and, you know, how do you know if you Google, you know, passive income or whatever you Google, you know, how do you know that that's a good, reputable company? So being from New York, Victor, everyone's guilty till proven innocent, which I'm still trying to work on. But it made sense to me, right, to provide that service, provide that value to, you know, potential LPs. And honestly, it really kind of skyrocketed us in a very short amount of time, because people felt better about somebody else looking at these deals, looking at operators, looking at markets, looking at asset classes. For the operators, you know, on the other side of the equation, they kind of liked it too, because this could be a somewhat secure line of funding for their deals, right? It's no secret that in the last couple of years, cap rates compressed, people needed more equity to close deals, and equity providers were in demand. And so they like to have somebody with their licenses that they can count on, that there's accountability, that there's we're going to raise the amount of money that we say we're going to raise. So on both ends of the equation, it's been a positive experience for both the operators and for our investors.
I love it. Now, one of the things we've seen is that over the last 12 to 18 months, raising capital has become markedly more difficult. We raised just shy of $40 million in 2022, and we had objectives of a similar number this year, and we will not achieve that. That's clear. We are actively raising capital, and we are getting in good quality conversations, and we are bringing in capital, but it's taking a lot more phone calls than it ever has. What's been your experience even in the FINRA world?
Largely the same, right? The newer investors, Victor, are, you know, pulling back. They're squirreling money into their money market accounts, CDs, and stuff like that because it's safe. It's liquid. And, you know, if they haven't done a private placement yet, or they've only done one and they want to just kind of hit the brakes, that's what we found with the newer folks. With the more sophisticated real estate investors or more sophisticated longer term investors, who understand market dynamics, who understand debt and equity, who understand the kind of macro cycles, they're still looking to place capital. But I will tell you that they're looking to kick the tires on the deal a little harder. They're looking to, depending on what size check they're looking to write, they want to talk directly with the sponsor or the operator. And we're more than happy to facilitate those conversations because at the end of the day, it's a big decision. It's a relationship business. It has been harder to come by those, say, $50,000 checks. For us, it's kind of been the same for the larger, say, $250,000 to $1 million checks from the more experienced folks.
Many of the investors that we've spoken with have said, well, I'm keeping funds in reserve simply because I keep hearing about capital calls coming in the marketplace, and I just want to make sure that I have liquid available if some of the existing investments face a capital call. Has that been something you've encountered as well?
So, Victor, luckily on our 20 plus projects, we have not had to do a capital call at this time. But yes, I mean, people are certainly scared. There's a lot of conversations around capital calls. Are they happening? Or should we save liquidity in case one is coming? You know, what's our current debt structure? How much time do we have left on, you know, maturities? So I guess roundabout, yes, they're talking about that topic because it's a real thing, right? I mean, listen, when we talk to investors, we don't make recommendations. That's not part of our mandate. But when we do provide opportunities, we do talk to investors about, more so than in the last couple of years, about the debt structure, about the equity. People want to see those lower LTVs. They want to see, you know, more fixed rate debt, because right now that's what people kind of are desiring.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's shift gears a little bit. Talk about you personally. You're still managing essentially two careers simultaneously. You've got a full-time role, a very senior role within the fire department, and you're living in this other world that is almost like oil and water. I mean, those are not traditionally complementary careers in the traditional sense. What's that been like? I know you're planning your exit from the fire department, but what's that been like managing those two simultaneously?
It is like oil and water. It's I love the firehouse, but the conversations are different, right? The conversations center around pensions and overtime and benefits and different calls that we kind of go on. We're not really talking about it's interest only, the 10-year, you know, fixed rate debt versus bridge debt and asset classes. You know, it's just not a part of that everyday vernacular at the firehouse. So in one respect, it's kind of nice to, you know, go there for 24 hours and have a lot of fun and a lot of laughs and go to some fires and some, you know, do some cool stuff. And on the other hand, it's good to come back to reality and, talk to investors and talk about and underwrite deals and look at different markets and hop on a plane and meet some people and look at, you know, tour properties. So it's two very, very different worlds, but it's a life that I chose and I'm having a lot of fun living it.
Fantastic. So over the last 18 months, I think investor appetite has changed. I think even deal sponsor appetite has changed as well. What are you doing more of? What are you doing less of? Have you had to pivot? Have you chosen to pivot? What's the perspective?
Yeah, so right now we're looking at deals on the multifamily side in markets that are still desirable, right, for a lot of different parties. But we're looking at the debt terms, right? In our view, Victor, properties don't fail. The structure of the deal fails. So right now we're looking at debt terms, maturities. We're looking at, you know, capitalization. We're looking at lower LTVs. We're looking at maybe not as heavy value add right now, more stabilized, newer vintage properties. On the multifamily side, on the self-storage side, we're in talks with a new operator to go forward with that has a longer-term view on hold periods. So, you know, in the last couple of years, people were expecting these, you know, grand slam home runs for 2 or 3 years, double your money or more, and be done with it. But we're looking for longer-term assets on the self-storage side. And then for our industrial partners, there's just an incredible opportunity in the manufacturing, reshoring, triple net, absolute triple net leases. It's an opportunity that not a lot of people have heard about. And I didn't hear about it until just, you know, about a year and a half ago. Cap rates are expanding. The debt is uncertain at this point. So we're really looking at opportunities where there's a little bit more safety and built in. We're looking at our stable of operators, and we want to go with people that have a little bit of gray hair, Victor, if you will. Been through a couple market cycles, or at least one market cycle. They've had multiple exits because, you know, at this point in the game, we're not really looking to work with, you know, newer sponsors that haven't been through this, because like we're seeing in the news a lot, you know, people are getting hurt if they didn't understand the debt that they were getting into, if they didn't understand that they had to actually do the value add and spend those CapEx dollars early on in the project to drive NOI. So, but those are some of the deals that we're also picking up. We're picking up deals at a discount, like we're just doing one in Dallas, actually just north of Dallas, and we're picking it up for a substantial discount from what they bought it for just 2 years ago. So there's still opportunity out there, but yeah, people are looking at these deals a lot harder, as are we.
Fantastic. Well, Tim, if folks want to connect, if they want to learn more, what's the best way?
Yeah, we have a podcast called the Passive Income Brothers Podcast. Check us out there, or you can come to our website, citysidecap.com.
Fantastic. Well, Tim, great to catch up as always. And for the listeners at home, definitely connect with Tim Lyons at Cityside Capital. The link will be in the show notes. And in the meantime, have an awesome rest of your weekend. Go make some great things happen. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.